This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. We've all heard of the World Almanac, but what's the history behind it? Joining me to give a little historic rundown of the World Almanac is the World Almanac Senior Editor, Sarah Jansen. Thanks so much for joining me, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we get into the meat and bones of this year's almanac, could you tell me when was the first World Almanac released?
The first World Almanac was published in 1868, so we're celebrating our 150th anniversary this year.
Oh, that is pretty cool. It's been around for 150 years? With the internet the way it is, do you guys, like, are you going to go internet-based one day, or is this going to still come out in book form?
We're definitely not going to eliminate the print edition anytime soon, but we are using the internet pretty much every day. So we're all over social media. We have a really active Instagram and Twitter and Facebook page. We actually have a web-based version of the World Almanac, which is available to libraries and schools. And then we also have an ebook edition, so you can download it to your tablet or your e-reader and access the World Almanac that way. But a lot of people still love to get the print edition, so I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
I can't help it. When I hear almanac, I also think of the Farmer's Almanac. Do you guys own it, or are you guys together or not?
We are not together. I love the Farmer's Almanac, too, but they do a pretty different thing to what we do. We're pretty much a general reference book. We cover tons of different topics, from history and science to pop culture and sports. And the Farmer's Almanac is definitely a really cool thing, but it's its own thing. It's more, you know, weather and predictions and fun stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember when my sister got married, it was partly outside, and my mother's like, we got to go look at the Farmer's Almanac. And I'm like, that's like 6 months away. It can't be true. And it was, surprisingly.
It was. Good.
Yeah.
I hope you had a nice day then.
It was funny. It was only supposed to rain in the morning, said the Farmer's Almanac, and it did. It only rained in the morning. So, but it was kind of weird because I didn't think that you guys were different. I thought it was like the same thing because of the word almanac.
Yeah, there actually used to be dozens and dozens of almanacs published in the United States starting from like the late 18th century until today. And now there's just a couple of us. So some of them are specialists. You see a lot of like sports-only almanacs, the Farmer's Almanac, of course. And we're pretty much the only general reference almanac that's still out there.
For your almanac, how do you determine what events go in there?
Oh, it's always a huge process every year to pay attention to all of the events of the past year and then also look at ways that we can add statistics or other information to either augment those stories, to enhance those stories, or to be a resource for people to use in the upcoming year. So we're constantly paying attention to what's going on in the news, not just, you know, on the front page, but what new data is the government releasing on the opioid crisis or on insurance and the health insurance markets, for example. We're always paying attention to how the World Almanac editors can add a little value by combining the events of the year with the data behind them.
Do you notice that the data changes like every year, or is there some kind of like sections where it's like, oh, it's kind of the same as last year, we don't need to change it?
It always changes every year. You would be so surprised by how often even things that you would think would be static, like for example, we always have a copy of the Constitution. Well, guess what? Sometimes the government releases a annotated or updated version of the Constitution that, you know, has the punctuation slightly different, or it's been analyzed by historians, and it turns out that there should be a comma here instead of a comma there. So even those things that you would think wouldn't change that much, you have to double-check every year. For example, in this edition, we changed a bunch of things on the periodic table because that's, again, one of those things you would think wouldn't change very often, but it always does.
Oh my God, so you mean the periodic table that I learned in grammar school and high school is completely different to like now?
It will have revised atomic weights some years. Some years they'll actually identify and name new elements. That happened at the end of 2016, I believe. They named four new elements. So yeah, things are constantly changing. You can never count on the number or the data being exactly the same from year to year, but thankfully that's what we have staff to work on. We have people working on the World Almanac constantly and identifying either updated information or new releases or information that's become available for the first time on so many different topics.
I'm so glad you talked about your team. How many people does it take to revise the World Almanac?
Well, the World Almanac has about 20 people who work on each new edition. That's researchers and editors and fact checkers and writers. The team here is mostly editorial, but we also consult some experts in their respective fields. So, for example, the astronomy section is edited by a PhD in astronomy. That's the kind of thing that we find it helps to have experts advise us on.
Oh, that is so cool. So I guess you can use this as part of your bibliography, right? Like if you're writing a report?
Yeah, absolutely. You should see our source list, which actually you can find on our website for schools and libraries. It's thousands and thousands of sources long. But, you know, it's pretty cool that we know we can go to all of these different places to get the authoritative or accurate information we're looking for.
Now, when it comes to the World Almanac, do you guys do like a top 10 news stories of the previous year?
Yes. So every year we do a lot of year in review content, and that's everything from the top 10 news stories to the annual time capsule to the full color year in pictures. But 2017 was definitely one where we were paying attention to what was going on in the news all year and just thinking, you know, usually a new presidency is up there in the top 10 somewhere, but it was really hard to see it as anything but the number one news story in 2017.
Oh, wow. What else was up there?
The North Korea nuclear fracas. It definitely made the top five. We also have the Russian election, possible campaign collusion, but the ongoing investigations, not just by Robert Mueller, but by Senate and House committees. And then a lot of other stuff going on in Congress. We're paying attention most of the year to the attempts to repeal the ACA, and now the budget bills and tax bills. So lots going on in Congress, too. And then rounding out the top five this year, we had a extremely active weather disaster season. So Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria all just sort of hit us in rapid succession, it felt like. And then along with those, you had tons of wildfires out west, the most active wildfire season ever. So definitely a lot going on in 2017 to keep track of.
Now, when it comes to the Almanac, does it also include upcoming predictions?
So the World Almanac doesn't do a lot of predictions. We mostly let the Farmer's Almanac take care of that. But we do have a preview of the 2018 Olympic Games and, of course, some other things going on in 2018, some celebrity birthdays that will be milestones. We also know that we're going to see some midterm elections in 2018, so we can help you look at your members of Congress now and see what the results were from the last election there. And then we also have a really fun feature that's associated with our 150th anniversary, which is we were going back through our archives and we found in our 1968 edition that Isaac Asimov had actually made some predictions for 100 years from then. So it would be 2068. So we decided to revisit some of those predictions, and it's so kind of hysterical how some of them are absolutely spot on, absolutely came true, and some of them are like, we're not going to be there for a while. So it's a really fun feature.
Could you just give a little preview of what came true?
Well, for example, he predicted that we would one day see news headlines on television screens.
Ooh.
Hard to believe that one, right? But he also predicted, this is one of the funnier ones, I think, that there would be entire suburban communities that existed entirely underground. And I'm pretty sure we're not going to be there for at least quite some time. At least I hope.
That is weird. Why would he think we would be underground? You would think like, oh, we're going to be like the Jetsons, right? Flying around above ground.
It is a very curious prediction, but, maybe it'll still come true. Who knows? We still have 50 years until 2068, so anything could happen.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about the World Almanac?
Well, you can go to worldalmanac.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find us really wherever books are sold.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.